Brooklyn, what is happening?
Oh, hi.
Someone brought us treats.
Can we be clear now that Limp Bizkit's like a joke, right? Like, that's just like a joke.
You know that we think that that's a shitty song.
Okay, I just...
We stopped buying the records right after that one. Yeah.
We want to thank Fred Durst, our warm-up comic for the night.
It's food. No, you eat it, no, you green-blooded Vulcan.
No.
That was a heavy thud when this hit the table.
Well, it's McDonald's. It's going to be a heavy
thud. When did you buy this?
This is disgusting. Yeah, this is cold. We like cold Burger King. Yes.
I love you guys. Here's some cold garbage. Here. Throw out this cold food. Thank you so much.
My name is Andrew Jupin.
I'm Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
Steven. Wow, a rowdy crowd. Steven Sadak is this
And
guy.
We are We Hate Movies from New York City. All right. So how many people here are familiar with the little show we do on the internet? I like that.
So about a dozen. Okay.
We'll cover numbers later.
It's a baker's dozen because there's more.
Okay.
Like a baker's dozen mean it's a dozen but more.
Yeah, it's like when the baker is like, look at that Steve Sadak. He's getting extra on me.
Bakers just suck at math.
So for those of you who got tricked into coming with a date.
We're sorry, first of all.
Or you're here early for the dance party that's after this. We're a comedy show where we take movies like that and brutally make fun of them for about an hour or so.
Mm. We're a competitive eating show where we eat cold, disgusting food in front of people.
We will be eating these cans after we're done.
Like the goats we are. yeah, go ahead, Steve. I'm going to drink
curiosity,
this beer.
Out of curiosity, we did this last time. Who thinks that they came the farthest for this show? Because there's a really expensive gift that we can give you. Like, yeah. It's really expensive. Yeah. It's really nice.
Like, so, this, it's pretty crazy, right here. You guys.
No. It's so much better than that.
You're
so
much better.
Right, so who thinks that they came... this person, I cannot see. Manchester,
right.
New Hampshire. That's good.
Can we got, beat what? It?
Kansas
Holy
City,
fucking shit!
Oh my gosh!
Sorry.
All right, we got one all the way in the
back. Here.
All the way in the back. Montreal. I don't know.
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, it's a different country.
That is. Right. That's customs. That's customs.
Yeah, that's customs.
You dealt with customs. Get on up here.
All right. Yeah, we've got a prize pack, and it is really expensive. And I mean, like,
come on.
She's on her way. It's fine. No one needs to rush.
Don't rush.
We have the stage for an hour. It's fine. No one fall. Can you get up there? Or, no, that's it.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, please don't fall. We have no insurance.
What's your name?
Hi.
What's your name?
Her name is Catherine. Hi. Weren't you listening?
Okay. Catherine, we have a very expensive gift.
McDonald's?
She's not coming up soon. It is a signed DVD. This has a cash value of less than $5. Yes. That is a yes. Thank you. Yes. Please don't watch it. We're going to have a big garbage bin for the McDonald's and for the DVD and for your ticket stubs. It's going to be great.
Well, maybe customs will just take it away and then everything will be even.
Oh, we don't want this back in Canada. This has to stay in that stupid country. Round of applause for Catherine.
Yeah.
Everybody. Now, how many of you have seen this movie before?
Okay.
Wow. How many of you watch it for the first time in advance of this show?
Yeah, okay.
That's about right.
That's an apology. That's an apology waiting to happen. Yeah.
Now, this is a movie called Mac and Me from 1988, which was a grand year. And I don't know if you know that. It's a grand year, 1988. Directed by a guy named Stuart Raffel. Yeah, this guy's got quite a filmography.
Is that how he got selected to direct it?
Bravo. He wrote Passenger 57.
Stay tuned.
Yeah. He directed some other stuff, too. We were talking about this
backstage. The
Philadelphia
Experiment, the first one, Eric.
Yeah.
The good one.
Well, no, the lesser one.
Steve, if you had to sort of, like, condense just really quickly, like, what this movie is about or what it tries to be about, what it tries to say to its audience...
It's an E.T. ripoff without the charm or the talent that promotes obesity in children. That like heavily, aggressively promotes obesity.
Yeah. In E.T., they're kind of like trying to hide the M&Ms.
Yeah.
In this, it's just Coca-Cola.
They're Reese's Pieces.
Oh, is it
Reese's Pieces? Well, wake the fuck up.
Well, watch they did their job.
Watch a fucking movie.
But to be fair, there are less cigarettes in this movie. E.T. is rotten with cigarettes.
Oh, man. D. Wallace is like smoking cigarettes and blowing it in the puppet's face. That's what I want of in a 1980s kids movie, by the way.
Exactly.
Adults smoking in front of children. The way it should be.
Yeah, just like our childhoods, yeah?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So this movie starts off in a hellscape. Planet of some kind.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like Arizona, probably.
And these aliens look like this? And CEO Ronald McDonald was like, yeah, that's fine.
I feel like he was very upset because if you look at the Mac and Me aliens, their mouths are like this big.
Yeah, they're like little tiny assholes on a face.
It's like,
yeah.
it's like a urethra.
Ooh, it's just this big. Ooh. But you know what? If I'm Ronald McDonald, I'm like, hey, I love the dailies. They're great. The mom's fantastic. How the fuck is that thing going to eat a cheeseburger? Because I paid for that thing to eat a fucking cheeseburger. Like, he's a tyrant behind the doors. Like, you know, he goes out, he's like, hi, kids. And then he's like, I paid that money.
That's like Ronald McDonald's in that board meeting. He's all done up because that shit, like, never comes off. And he's like, so the cast is really great. I think Christine Ebersole is so much fun in this movie. It's fantastic. And then he's, like, slowly taking the wig off. And when it comes off, it just changes. And he's just like, and the comedy's really good. You know, and now wait a second. How the fuck is a fish fillet going in that alien's fucking mouth? Tell me!
And the CEO of Coca-Cola is like, no, straw hole. His mouth is a straw hole.
His mouth is a straw hole. I think that's a Limp Bizkit lyric. Yeah. So NASA, as it turns out, has sent this landing craft to the moon of Saturn to take rocks or something. We're just taking rocks. That's all we've ever done in space. Mm-hmm. Steal rocks from other places. And it just happens to land right in front of the Mac and Me family.
Yeah. You got aliens. Oh, man, what a lucky, you know, it's a big deal.
Yeah. You'd think it would be a big deal. You'd think that this would be treated like a big deal.
There
as it turns out, no one cares.
Alarm that's like something is moving out there, by
exactly.
The way.
Exactly. There's something here other than rocks.
And then they could shoot the nuke.
Oh, just blow up the moon?
Yeah, nuke that moon.
Like you should kill this fucking family, that's for sure.
Definitely. I like how Harvey Fierstein is their signal officer.
Oh, my God, we landed and there's a fucking alien. Oh, my goodness gracious, look at these disgusting burlap aliens. Oh, I'm going to fucking vomit. Does everybody see these aliens? Oh,
all right, then. Self-destruct. Self-destruct.
Oh, he's just the voice in the spacecraft? I'm sorry, I can't do that, Dave. I have to self-destruct. Those things are so fucking gross, I'd rather die.
It's 1988, so clearly I smoke cigarettes, even though I'm a spacefaring robot.
Harv 9000?
Yes.
Sure, what the hell.
So he's just sucking up rocks, and oops, these aliens are made of jelly. So they all just get sucked up inside this thing.
This is like a bad Nickelodeon effect. Like the little baby, like the titular Mac, he gets sucked in first. Mm. And then there's also like parents, and then what we're told is a sister.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, our child is dead. Let's all sacrifice ourselves. Like you would if you're the last of your kind. And they all get sucked into this spacecraft because it's got a vacuum cleaner attached to it. It's got an arm to pick up rocks and a huge vacuum cleaner.
That's it.
NASA, I think I'm coming in a little heavy today.
I'm carrying four disgusting aliens with me.
And they don't die in space.
Yeah, no. That's a great question. There's no sugar water on that thing, so how are they staying alive?
Well, it's like this is like Ripley going to meet the aliens. This is like far off. This should take years to get back to Earth.
It's like 10 minutes.
The next week, maybe.
It's outrageous.
And they're like, oh, let's just see what's inside this darn spaceship we got here. You know, they're just like emptying it out like you went to the beach and took your shoes off. Like, rocks, rocks. Oops, a bunch of aliens.
And the guy running NASA looks exactly like John Williams.
He does.
I thought it was John Williams until like 10 minutes ago. There's John Williams. There's a dude that looks like Keith Hernandez. This is a who's who of shitty celebrity lookalikes.
I mean, Alan Silvestri did the score for this, as you'll find out. He must have kicked John Williams out, and John Williams like, well, I'm not going home without nothing.
He refused to leave the Mac and Me project?
You put me in this fucking movie, or I'm getting Alan, and we're getting out of here.
All right, it's fine. We'll have the aliens not eat hamburgers, but John Williams will be the head of NASA, said Ronald McDonald for some reason.
I could use more Ronald McDonald in this movie.
Yeah. Oh,
of course.
He's just got a role.
He's got like
he's got charisma, you know? He's got star power.
Here's the thing. He shouldn't be playing himself. Yeah. He should be playing a scientist.
Thank you.
But he's still dressed like Ronald McDonald.
Yeah.
But he's just got a lab coat on.
And he could just be like, we got something.
I would watch. That's an endlessly watchable movie.
Right.
Ronald McDonald playing a NASA scientist. Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
And then you know he could do the instead of that. I think the kid says it, but like the titular line of like mysterious alien creature.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Ronald McDonald could be like, we got a couple Macs. Right? Oh, and we got a Big Mac.
Oh, this is a small Mac now. No.
It actually took me like we've been promoting this show for like 400 years. And I've never seen the movie until this Wednesday, and it took me until Tuesday to realize that Mac and Me was a pun on Big Mac. Like, I'm really not kidding. I've been thinking about this movie for months.
I kind of just put that together right now.
Yeah.
Because right. I wasn't thinking about this movie while watching it at all.
That's fair. Point.
Because why would you?
So NASA might as well be run by clowns because they let aliens escape. If there's one thing NASA should be doing is be prepared for aliens to keep them inside.
Listen, every single chamber that has anything from outer space needs like a gas to come in or
exactly.
something.
Exactly.
Like, like instant flash flaming or something.
Like an Ed 209 or something coming around the
just
corner.
Just fry these fuckers.
These things need to kill them and cut them open.
NASA needs a death squad. Just a bunch of guys with ski masks that go to work every day.
The moon troopers.
Exactly. On the off chance that, whoops, we've got an alien. You know what I mean? Like
I don't care if all you're doing is picking up rocks. There could be aliens that got sucked into it,
man.
And you need to be prepared to kill them instantly.
You can, like, paint some M16s white. It's pretty cool.
I like this movie.
I think it sounds good.
So, these things escape is the idea.
They all go different directions. Mac gets separated from the family, you see.
And this is, it's like kind of a puppet, but it's also like either like a little kid or a little person sometimes.
Yeah.
It's so disgusting.
And I think he turns into a cartoon once or twice, maybe.
Oh, it goes cartoon, you're saying?
When he gets zapped by the fence, he gets really skinny and even somehow more disgusting.
Is that when he's being blown back, it looks like?
Yes.
He looks like he's made of gak in that scene.
Yeah, he gets caught on the wind and then lands on some, some windshield. And that is just like
that's
a nightmare.
Awful. That's like, he looks like Christopher Lloyd should be throwing him in a dip bath. It's awful.
Hey, Ronald, it's Tom Nickelodeon here. I am calling you on my enormous cell phone. Yes, it's 1988. We need to move some gak. Could you... We've got warehouses in Secaucus that are filled with gak.
Okay, all right. Well, we will put gak in McDonald's food from now on.
Look, we only have beige gak left.
We took a bath on the beige gak.
Every other color flew off the shelves, but the beige gak, we could not move it.
Magenta went really quick. That was a surprise for all of us.
What was like your standard gak? Green?
Oh, green. You got to go green. Yeah, green.
That's the classic.
They still making that or what? Kids eating it?
And
they had to take it off the
one.
Market?
Probably.
Yeah.
I love that
Nickelodeon
would just sell you garbage. Like, here's just garbage.
And you just like whine to your parents about buying it. Like, you know, you work 5 days a week. You fucking barely like this life you have here. Spend this hard-earned money on garbage I want.
Oh, by the way, that's going to have hair in it in 3 fucking seconds. And it's ruined.
He hits the windshield and causes this car accident.
Oh, shit, man.
This car accident is outrageous.
Not only would there be fatalities.
Big time.
But then the government would come by and be like, these people probably saw an alien, and they'd shoot them all dead. Or they should, at least, in my opinion.
You got to contain. You got to contain the scene.
Thank you, Steve.
Contain the scene. Yeah, exactly. Like just have these moon troopers around. Both.
Deploy the moon troopers and kill everyone in this auto accident.
I'm going to deploy the moon troopers. That's a real thing, right?
Wait, it's not real. Mac and me lied.
All right, I'm going to tweet that we need to get moon troopers. We need the moon troopers. Many people say we need moon troopers.
So in this car, by the way, is child actor Danny Cooksey.
Oh yeah, Budnick.
Budnick, man, from Terminator 2. Mm-hmm. And he was on a sitcom there.
Salute Your Shorts.
He's on Salute Your Shorts.
Well, no, Salute Your Shorts, obviously.
No, he was the kid.
The Gary Coleman show there.
The later Different Strokes. Thank
different
you.
Different Strokes.
The latter
thank
season.
You. Thank you.
They were like, there's too many. Gary Coleman's looking a little old. We need like a little kid, like a real little kid kind of a thing.
Get me a real little kid. Television executive.
No more tricks like last time. Fool me once, casting agent. I want a real little kid. I want to see papers.
You lucked out, Coleman. The show's already a hit.
That's monstrous.
Yeah, television is a tough industry.
So the family is driving in this amazing Volkswagen van.
Oh my God!
That has blinds on it.
Oh my God!
To drive a car that has blinds in it.
You know why that's there?
Fucking.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's for fucking.
Yep.
I think both of those kids were conceived in that van.
That makes sense. So I mean, we've been talking about the family. They have an odd gait, odd walk they do.
Oh, the family of aliens.
Oh, the alien family.
Oh yes. Now Andrew, I understand that you have an impression of this walk, and these good people came a long way. Can we convince them? Let's see the alien walk.
Now the only way I can do it is to do it like how the dad is walking at the end of the movie.
Okay.
Which of course by that I mean holding a gun and waving it wildly. So the gun is kind of like out like this. And he's kind of wide stance like this.
Yeah. Yep.
And they lead with their gut and he's drunk.
Oh, he's doing it. He's doing it.
And he's just like threatening these FBI agents and firing this fucking gun. And they ice that fucking family.
Yeah.
Yes, shoot.
Which
them
we will all get to in about 45 minutes.
So go to the bathroom now. It's the mom. There's a brother who used to be on Charles in Charge, the first iteration of Charles in Charge, before they hit the reboot button. Everybody knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course, Steve.
I'm really not even worried about it. And then the son, who plays Eric, who has blonde hair.
Oh. Yeah. I was a child actor.
And so they're moving from Illinois to California, I think because that dad died mysteriously.
Oh, shit.
Not a lot of details about this dead dad.
No. Mm-hmm. They went on a fishing trip and he never came back.
Never came back.
I'm telling you, she sunk him. Scott Peterson shit.
Oh, really?
Yep.
That's wild, dude.
That's my hunch.
I think something might have went down in Mexico, because the one picture we have is them in a car having a great time in front of a Dos Equis banner. Which wasn't wildly available in the widely available in the
maybe 1980s. The cartel buried him.
Oh, you think so?
Oh
maybe,
yeah,
oh, dude.
Dude,
he was trying to smuggle in that he put the blinds down in his van, trying to smuggle some shit.
Dude, he fucking crossed Tortuga, and that was the end of it.
That's how they afford this amazing house. It's cartel money. That makes so much sense.
Or just the life insurance policy.
Yeah, also.
All right, yeah, because he died on a business trip.
Oh, it pays out double.
I think they got kicked out of Chicago because they bought all of the all the Chicago banners, Chicago Bears t-shirts, yeah. Chicago Cubs caps.
They were driven
everything out? That was available to buy that had the word Chicago on it, they owned it.
It's outrageous. The licensing for all of these t-shirts, calendars. He's got a poster of the team doing the Super Bowl shuffle. What the fuck for?
It's a WGN sticker.
Hey, Ronald, it is Don Chicago Cubs. We're still about 20 years away from being relevant, so I just need to get this merchandise off my hands, man.
This is Mike Ditka. Get some bears in there.
So, you know, there's so many stimulating scenes of this family moving into this house, unpacking. Mm-hmm. The mom goes off on this mover. You remember this part?
Oh, my Lord. What was that about?
This dude kind of like gently tosses down a box.
It's like an empty box.
And she's like, hey, what the fuck are you doing with my stuff? And he's just like, hey, lady, it's just our moving bags. And she's like, oh, sorry. It's a real shitheel thing to do.
I don't think she's saying sorry.
It's actually kind of endearing because they buy this house. It's a ranch house, and like the kid is paraplegic, and you know she's wheeling him in, and she's like, "Look, Eric, like there's not a stair in the house." And like you know, I get a little misty about it, but the house.
What you did?
But the house.
Yeah, wait. Did anyone else cry during Mac and Me?
The house happens to be on a cliff, without any kind of a gate or a fence. So it's like. All right, no steps in the house. Great job, Mom, and thank you so much.
Well, it was a choice between stairs or cliff. And cliff is like one big stair.
That's true. That's very true.
Let me tell you, Steve, wheelchair or no, a kid can fall off a cliff.
Yeah, exactly. If you have any kid, you want to guard that cliff a little bit. Or even have a conversation about the cliff. The cliff is not a toy.
Don't go playing with the cliff. It's purely decorative.
You know what's funny is I grew up with a cliff.
Did you really?
Oh, really? My backyard was a cliff.
Wow.
You ever think about going over?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a fence at least or what?
No.
No?
Wow. Wait, what kind of a drop are we talking?
Like 30, 40 feet.
Yeah, that'll kill you. That'll kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll break your legs.
It's my backup option.
So the alien has snuck into their van at an FBI checkpoint back at that massive car accident the night before.
Yeah, it's good for smuggling cocaine and aliens.
I mean, the FBI does a really lackluster job of checking that car.
Yeah.
It's just a mag light across the windows.
Again, you'd round all these people up and shoot them.
Every last one of them.
Yeah.
Or detain them for quite a while,
yeah,
right?
Dude, you're going to be probing them, you know? You never know when an alien's hiding somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Get those, like, Geiger counters going, figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
Those make fun noises.
They do.
They do. So he's like sneaking into this house, and a lot of the early moments of this movie are the two kids separately not talking to each other, being like, are we fucking crazy? Are we seeing this little beast? What is this? And the alien is like fucking with them.
Mm-hmm.
Like the one little kid's got an RC car, because it's 1988.
Sure.
And I guess one of the things is like they can touch devices and make them go without electricity.
Yeah, sure.
That's a neat power.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the government would round them up and like use them as batteries or something. Yeah?
It's a neat power and a cheap special effect.
Yeah.
It's like, oh wow, that RC car is running, but look, I just showed you the batteries out. That's kind of a special effect.
This television's on, but it's clearly unplugged.
Whoa!
Ronald McDonald's like, look, we took a bath on this shitty looking puppet. We need some cheap special effects.
But also, are they not, like, smelling this thing?
That's a great question.
It has to smell like shit. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Of course.
It's been stuffed in a small space with its family, mm-hmm. without a shower, without water, with nothing.
Yeah.
And then it comes out, and it just sounds great. Smells great.
It's got to be, like, shit-covered, rotting flesh. It has to stink to high heaven.
You know, they have to defecate at some point, and they're doing that. They're in that, like, container going across space and time.
Oh, wow.
Like, they're just shitting in there and whatever else. You know, maybe. I don't know if they ate enough.
Or they might. I mean, they're definitely drinking. They're drinking their planet.
So they at least smell like piss. Yeah.
Fair enough. The point is, they should be able to smell these creatures.
And
they do
where,
not.
By the way, where do they piss?
That's...
Can we talk about that?
Yeah, yeah, let's
talk
get into
about
it.
That.
Yes, let's definitely talk about
like,
that.
They're, okay, they have bumps. I don't know where their genitalia is because, like, you need for a proper bump, it needs to protrude a little bit. You know, this is like a real flat bump.
A proper bump.
Yeah.
I'm gonna stop you at proper bump.
So, Eric, in your professional opinion,
yeah.
These bumps are unsatisfactory.
They're unsatisfactory bumps, but they do have like little like bumps or horns on their head.
Yeah, I don't
I'm
know.
That's are about... those genitals?
Those could be. They have like
are
weird
those little
knees.
Scrotums.
They could. They have like weird little bubbly knees.
Oh yeah.
You never know.
Star Trek VI had a guy with a knee dick.
Oh, that's right.
Remember Captain Kirk kicked that guy in his knee dick?
Yeah. How did Jim Kirk know that was going to happen?
Okay, I'll do Star Trek VI, but there's got to be a knee dick in it. That's my one condition.
James Tiberius Kirk is watching all this type of porn, man.
Oh, I see.
Fucking across the universe, dude.
Oh, that one's interesting.
What is that?
He's got to learn the, you know, the battle map.
Yes, Aaron.
He's kind of like haunting the house. He like does some weird. He does take a shower. So to your point, maybe he's trying to, you know. It's
oh,
like, oh,
cover
man,
up.
A long maybe, yeah. flight, my God.
I love that he knows what the shower is.
Yeah.
He turns it on. It's really hot. He's got like footprints all over the yard and everything. He leads out into the yard rather. And this kid's just like something's not right. There's like. All these things turning on by themselves, little monster-like footprints all over the place.
Because they're not sure it's a new house. They're like, okay, is it a ghost or is it an alien? And everyone in the movie seems to think ghost is more plausible. Which, I mean, like, I don't know. Who believes in ghosts in this room? All right, we got ghosts.
Okay, wait, shh. Now.
Who believes in aliens? All right. See?
Okay.
All right. And who believes in the same thing?
No, you don't. That doesn't make any sense.
All right, I
feel you need to get like an expert in there.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, like a Zelda Rubinstein.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, you're like a paranormal investigator.
Oh no, child. It appears to me, in my professional opinion. That this is the alien you're dealing with, child. It's just out of my jurisdiction. If you had a ghost on your hands, I'd be able to help you out.
Are you sure it's not my dad?
No, child, your dad's long in hell.
But
he got killed by the cartel.
Hold on, Zelda. You said you specialize in TV apparitions. My TV's been going crazy.
Because of an alien. Can't you smell that, child? It smells like an alien's dank ass.
So then this alien turns into Leatherface for a while. I don't understand this part. So he's like trying to, I think he understands that the family is a good thing and he wants to like announce himself, but he doesn't want to get murdered, which, you know, I understand.
Sure.
So he starts like assaulting this kid with power tools for some reason in this scene. Yeah.
This is bone chilling.
I think he might have recognized them as like prey or something.
Oh, wow,
you know?
Yeah. Because he's got a chainsaw and like carves a triangle in the door.
Yeah.
And then
terrifying.
He like pokes it through and he puts his little gross fucking face in.
Here's Johnny.
Well, and this kid's screaming.
Well, you could really dub the like, take out the R2-D2 whistles. And put in the fucking, like,
oh, the Leatherface shriek. Yeah, I mean, like, let's talk about the whistles. What the fuck was...
That's the noise that comes out of the straw hole.
Yeah, oh, that's the only thing they could do is whistle.
He's trying to speak, but that's really the only thing that they can utter. Yeah. Whistling.
Why are their faces, like, stuck in this grimace forever? What happened?
I don't know, man. It comes from eating your own kind, I think.
Oh, wow.
Right. Oh, it's like a lockjaw type of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's going right to their brain.
So that happens. The mom is like, what the fuck? Because the whole house is destroyed because this alien wanted to show them something.
I guess it's like, hey, look how cool I can be.
Yeah.
But he's like dragged trees from the outside and put them inside. He's vandalized all this furniture.
Their house is rotten with crickets as well.
Oh, God. Can you imagine trying to get crickets out of a house? Oh. And she's losing it. Mm. And she goes to the kid who's paraplegic and is like, what did you do? Now, she just sat back for a second. Maybe blame the other kid.
Yeah. Start there at least. You want to start there.
And even then, digging up trees and dragging them into a house. Just think about this. And they're like, we swear to you there's a monster in this house. I don't know how else to try to convince you.
But how does Mac do that? You know, like, is he using telepathy or something? Is he floating shit around with his mind? Why can't I see that?
Money.
Oh. Yeah. It's very expensive.
Yeah, you're not going to see floating anything.
You need that. You need that to make a real movie.
We got to blow up a grocery store at the end of this movie, so
for no reason.
That's where all that money's going, the blow-up budget.
So she's really upset, and they have a fight, and then the kid's like, oh, I think this alien... How do we get to the cliff? How... Someone walk me to that cliff, because that's a scene.
So what happens is there's like a big domestic dispute, you know, because she's like screaming at these kids.
Yeah.
So, you know, Eric gets all upset. He goes out in the backyard and he's like mad at his mom and he just keeps going and going. And then his wheelchair rolls down a cliff.
Isn't he chasing Mac? Because Mac's like, oh, come on, come on.
He thinks he sees him,
right? Oh, right, yeah.
And he just goes, and it is the funniest fucking thing. This poor bastard, one, turns into a puppet, and then just rolls off this cliff and falls into a pond or something.
And then Mac has a little list with all the family's names on it, and he crosses Eric's out.
It's amazing because the kid hits the water, and they have that terrible shot of, like, the puppet head just springs up, and he's watching this kid die. His dumb, frozen face is like wide-eyed, and his mouth is just in a circle, and he's just watching this child die. And then, like, the mom runs out, and she's like, Eric, the fuck did you do that for?
I don't know, Mom, it's a fucking cliff.
Didn't tell me about a cliff in the backyard.
Couldn't buy a fence.
Just a fence would
Or a gate, God damn it.
So they revive him. They get him out of the water. And this doctor, this really cool doctor, is like, so I hear you're seeing either a ghost or an alien or some odd thing. Here's a sedative. And the kid's like, no, I don't need it. First of all, guys, never turn down a sedative. Like, if someone get, even if you don't need it right then and there,
seriously,
you hoard that shit, right?
Like, totally. Yep.
Even if you want to take it later or sell it, like, you know, or you got a buddy having a hard time.
This guy is handing it out like the fucking Candyman. I would just take it.
I think this doctor's looking to just get out of there. What I'm saying? Like, he's called to this house. A kid just fell off a cliff. He walks in, there's trees all over the living room. Someone chainsawed the door.
The kid won't stop talking about an alien.
Yeah, like, I'm just going to pump this kid full of pills and get the fuck out.
I think the whole family should be committed.
Oh, yeah.
Every last one of them.
Was this before CPS? Did George H.W. Bush invent CPS or not so much?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think that predates George H.W.
Okay,
Bush.
That's good.
Yeah, no, they could have been removed from the home. They aren't, unfortunately.
No, they stay.
He fake takes that pill, though, so maybe he is going to plan on selling it later.
Oh, that's a good idea.
He does the old, like, this pill's great. And, like, the doctor leaves and he pulls it out of his mouth. So they have some neighbor friends, these two girls.
Oh, one of them happens to work at McDonald's.
What?
Weird.
She's wearing a McDonald's uniform through the whole movie. It's the only thing she wears in this movie is her McDonald's uniform. So at all times, if you're not already thinking about McDonald's, you are reminded by a patch on her shirt that McDonald's is in this movie.
But the Coca-Cola Corporation, I think, has a bigger stake here.
Right?
You're totally right.
That's why they're straw-mouthed.
Well, bigger thing is that Coca-Cola not only gives Mac life.
Yeah.
It revives people later.
Yeah.
That's true.
No,
fully.
It truly is life water.
This little alien drinks so much Coca-Cola. How does he not have diabetes?
That's a great question. This alien's losing some fingers, man.
All I'm saying, though, is like, let's start with water first. We've got a brand new creature.
It's 1988. Coca-Cola is water.
That's true.
I was
It wasn't
there.
Bad for you yet.
No, it was good for you.
Now,
I drank that shit nonstop.
You know, I read the script. This is Ronald McDonald talking. And I thought we agreed that the lifeblood of this movie is fucking Chicken McNuggets. And here I see Coca-Cola revives this little fucker.
Well, I beg to differ. I'm Thomas Coke.
Oh, are you a Coke brother?
You may know my monster siblings.
I make sugar water and fund elections.
But it's amazing, though, because watching this movie for the first time, you know, all I ever heard about was like, oh, my God, the McDonald's. Oh, the McDonald's. Oh, Lordy, the McDonald's.
Or Lordy, I hope they're a McDonald's.
It's Coca-Cola, man. We gotta set the record straight about this. This is a Coca-Cola
movie. Well, actually, I just thought there is one thing McDonald's could have done. You could feed one fry.
Oh, yes.
You're totally right.
Slipping fries. Slipping fries.
One at a time. Like, yeah.
Oh, you better go slow on those. Those are my sipping fries.
No, they cut that scene. It was too sensual.
Am I allowed to throw up on stage? Is that possible? Is there a bucket?
How about at least you pour a milkshake down their throat?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Get some protein or something.
Yeah, a milkshake protein?
Yeah, I mean, no, I don't know. I'm not a dietitian, ladies and gentlemen.
Wait, what?
I know, right?
Well, you take some ice cream and some Chicken McNuggets in a blender.
Yes. So the alien finally reveals himself. Like, the whole movie is like everyone not knowing what this alien is, and like there's these flashes of his family like in the desert looking for work, I guess. Like, they're like trying
just toiling in the Dust Bowl, man.
It's like Jerry.
Yeah, it is.
Dude, how great would it be if just the one dad alien like lost it and beat the other two to death? Because he was like, we're all going to die, and I want to put my family out of this misery, and he beats them to death, and then he looks, and the road is just right there.
Oh, no, we spoiled Jerry for all these people.
Oh, man, who hasn't seen Gus Van Sant's Jerry and was planning on doing it anytime soon?
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
You were planning it on watching it anytime soon?
You know what? Sorry. Don't bother.
Now definitely not.
Yeah, you're fine.
So, they
they trap him.
The alien gets sucked in a vacuum again, which is his weakness, it seems.
But how does this kid know that?
That's a great question.
Turns out there's a plot hole in Mac and Me. He's like, I'm going to catch this stupid thing and prove this monster mother of mine wrong. And he enlists the help of the little girl from next door. Mm-hmm. And they suck this thing into the vacuum. Lucky. Lucky that this works. And then this thing starts losing it inside the vacuum.
I thought you were jealous for a second.
Oh, I would love to get sucked into a vacuum. Are you kidding me?
Would you?
No.
Okay.
But then the alien has its sweet revenge, though, because the girl's wearing this vacuum cleaner on her back,
like
a Ghostbuster, which is kind of cool. And this thing starts dragging this girl all over the house.
It's like Zool shit.
It is.
It's dancing on the ceiling, man.
There is no Dana, only Mac.
Well, she turns into a puppet, too, and she's flying around.
Oh, she gets puppified. There are so many child puppets in this movie. But what I think we're dealing with here is one puppet, different wigs.
Yes, absolutely. 100%.
I think that's exactly what we're dealing with here.
Puppet in a wheelchair? Uh-oh, it's Eric. Puppet with a little bow in its hair? Uh-oh, it's the girl now.
This is a great movie you want to see kids get, like, beaten. Brutalized.
And it's awesome because this puppet just hits the floor and, like, its legs go the wrong way. Like, this thing just bends so unnaturally. It's fucking horrifying. And she's also wearing a football helmet, by the way.
Yeah.
And at that moment, Ronald McDonald's into the screening is like, I don't think this is going to be a good movie. I think we really made a blunder here, guys.
His face is just getting redder and redder. Thinking about all the fucking McDonald's bucks he's wasted.
Now, Ronald, hold out. Let's watch it till the end. Thomas Coke.
Is that how The Founder ends? He turns into Ronald McDonald? I never saw that movie.
Oh, that'd be great.
I don't want to spoil that movie for you. But
it's like The End of Usual Suspects.
The Michael clown! The clown, did you see him?
Michael Keaton's walking down the sidewalk and he takes like a handkerchief out and he wipes like just like
his
white dude
off.
Makeup.
Yes.
And then it's clown underneath.
Yes.
Much like the Joker.
Uh-huh. His limp straightens out and suddenly he's got big clown shoes on.
Like that. He's gone. We decide to go. We have to go. Early in the movie, Eric gets invited to a birthday party. And it's like really nice that he gets invited to a birthday party.
New to the neighborhood, instant party invite. Pretty sweet.
It's kind of a dropped line. You're like, oh, there's a birthday party. Mac, overnight, after getting sucked up into the vacuum, I guess realizes what he did was wrong. And he magically fixes their house and like puts flowers on everyone's pillow, which is terrifying.
Oh.
I never want to wake up to a flower that I wasn't expecting.
Wake up to my flower.
Dude,
wake up to my flower.
It's a calling card.
It is.
It totally is. I would be shitting my fucking pants.
I would much rather a horse head than a flower. Like, at least you know where you stand with a horse head. The mafia is going to kill you.
You're totally right.
Mm-hmm.
Halfway through, Alex Cross kicks down the door.
Yeah, exactly. So
this mother is so stupid again because she looks around at the house, the repaired door, the undestroyed wall, and she's like, guys, thanks so much. Like, you fucking moron. These kids aren't spackling the goddamn wall. They're not buying a new door.
Wow. Oh, the new drywall you guys shouldn't have.
Eric, did you do all this?
You got all those crickets out of here. Man, crickets in your house, just ugh.
Ew.
I was in a movie theater one time and there was crickets.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was John Waters' A Dirty Shame. And I'm watching this movie and I'm just hearing crickets.
The movie didn't go over well with the people?
We were the only ones in the theater at the time. But I'm like, man, you know, John Waters is such an innovator, man. Just putting crickets endlessly on this soundtrack. What a fucking genius. And then, like, after the credits finished, the crickets were still there, and I was like, ah. And I go out.
Wait, were you looking for crickets in the end credits?
Crickets as themselves.
Oh, this theater manager is just a genius. Such an innovator.
So I go out to this dude, and I'm like, hey, man, by the way, I think there's a bunch of crickets in that theater. And he just goes, oh, yeah, the crickets? Yep. They knew about that cricket problem and had accepted it.
So he the girl from next door and her mother come over to pick up Eric for the birthday party.
And this is a whole thing.
And they're like, the girl's like, oh, let me go inside. I'll bring Eric out. And like, Eric is like, Mac is like crying on the couch. He's got all these tissues all
over. He's got a bunch of tissues all over his crotch.
Yeah.
Wait. So this is actually proving the bump theory. I got to go back to the bump. Maybe that bump is something because he's wiping it down afterwards.
That's right.
Do we need to go back to the bump?
They want to know.
Yeah, everybody does.
Well, dude, is this a proper bump, Eric, or is this an improper bump?
Wait, Max, in this scene?
Yeah, Max.
You know what? I would say it's definitely improper, but it makes it proper because they're like addressing, it's secreting things.
Okay. So like a 7.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Maybe a 6 out of 10.
All right. Makes sense.
So I give this alien genitalia 6 out of 10 bumps. What a disgusting thing.
How many people have left? No, none.
That's aliens.
That's aliens.
You want to talk about aliens, you got to talk about bumps.
You got to know about bumps. So they're like, oh, but we can't leave Mac. He's so upset. They say the word depressed, which is kind of odd. Like, A, why would a kid say that? And B, why would you say that about an alien?
Why would you ever think an alien was depressed? Come on. It's an alien.
Also, why would you care?
Also, more importantly,
yeah.
It's unhuman.
So they're like, oh my God, well, we have to go to this birthday party because my mom is, you know, is demanding that we do. So they're like, okay, let's dress him up. Let's skin a teddy bear and put this thing in there. And it's the creepiest.
This is so annoying because...
How? Go ahead.
Well, but I have a question.
It's functioning as like, it's got like human limbs suddenly and it's moving around like a human might. And it...
Listen,
You showed it functioning one way, and suddenly it's in another costume, and it can do anything. I don't like that.
No, it's inconsistent.
Yes.
But that's my question. Like, how do you make this disgusting piece of canvas jerky more disgusting, have it wear a teddy bear flesh suit?
Yep.
Is the answer. And it's the only answer. Yeah, this is... And the writers of this movie knew that.
A teddy bear skin suit that hasn't been washed, by the way.
No, this is a dirty skin suit.
I feel bad for like the merchandising department. It's like, all right, you want me to make a plush toy of Mac, which is disgusting. And then there's the alternate costume, which is a plush toy of Mac in a loose-fitting teddy bear costume.
It looks like, have you ever seen a picture of old toys from the Great Depression?
Yeah.
That's what it looks like. Mm-hmm. It's fucking horrifying.
Or I also, Bobo, Mr. Burns' bear.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's what it looks like, except there's a person dancing in it.
So we go in the car, we get to, thank God, Ronald is like checking his watch. Like,
can I just say something, Steve? Because there's something, it's so offensive.
Oh, please.
This soulless next door neighbor lady is taking the Eric in his wheelchair up to the car, and she just goes, now how am I supposed to do this? Are you fucking serious? What is he gonna say? Strap me to the roof. You fucking moron, take me out of the chair, put me in the car, and put the fucking thing in the trunk. And how do I do this?
You got a belt I could hold on to? That's how I go from place to place. You've never seen...
So do I just tie the chair to the bumper?
I just strap myself to a belt and get pulled places.
You've seen that, right?
It's just outrageously dumb, I'm sorry.
So we get to McDonald's, and I don't know... Is everyone on drugs in this McDonald's?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that's what else is going on here?
It's a bunch of horse, dude. Everyone took a bunch of fucking horse.
Because people are immediately having a dance competition
in the parking lot.
Yeah, you can't even pull into this McDonald's. Oh, we'd be furious.
Oh, I'd be laying on that horn. Are you kidding me?
Oh yeah.
Get out of the way! Dancing, and eat McDonald's.
Dancing in a parking lot.
Also, you're fucking blocking the handicap parking space.
Very true.
Which, for the first time of my life, I get to use.
Very exciting. Very exciting.
Yeah, it's an exciting day for everybody.
Don't take that away from you.
So we go in, and then there's more dancing, and Mac turns into Mr. Fantastic, which should fucking stop this party dead. Like, he's like, ooh, I want... He desperately needs a Coke, so he reaches out.
Oh, God.
He's like, I'm drying out!
And I am puking.
Just straight up puking.
It's a John Carpenter nightmare, man. Yes. It's like, ew, ew.
Oh, God.
They don't want to be Mac. They want to be us.
Exactly. And like,
fucking horrifying.
Then Mac also gets into the dancing, and everyone's like, "What is that creep?" Like, best case scenario, who is that crazy little person dancing in a bear suit?
But that's not the only thing that's fucked up about
this.
The
manager would tap your shoulder and be like, "Yo, dude, what's going on?"
The story that they lay out there is that it's this kid's teddy bear that's got like microchips in it.
Oh, shit.
So it can, like, move around realistically because it's got microchips.
Killer robot.
But then it's stretching, and then it's just dancing like a person. That story's falling apart in 2 seconds.
Yes. Well, also, this is supposed to be a birthday party for a little child, and can we just take a step to... There's a football team?
Yep.
The Washington Redskins.
Yes, 40 or, 50, you know, 30, 40-year-olds. Yeah. And then you have ballerinas being skeptical of the other dancing.
It's like
they are throwing some fucking shade at everybody else dancing.
It's like the afterlife in Beetlejuice. Where did these people come from?
Dude, that's the thing, man. I think this McDonald's is hell.
Oh, I see.
It's just a waiting room in hell.
And Ronald is in this scene.
This is Ronald's cameo.
He might be the devil.
That checks out. Everything about that checks out.
And they're like, Ronald, will you fix your makeup? Don't fucking touch me!
Oh my God, that's not Ronald McDonald at all. It's John Wayne Gacy.
Again?
Again!
He always sneaks in there.
But it's interesting because in this scene, and we don't get to see this a lot in the commercials and everything, you get to see Ronald practicing his craft.
That's true.
Here he is, making a scarf come out of a fucking Happy Meal box. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, you're being a real clown. That's cute.
It's real fucking hard.
The government agents become a force in this part. Like, they start chasing. They dispatch, like, 360-year-old government agents to catch this thing. Like, this is not top men.
Moon troopers would be top men.
Yes, exactly.
Get some moon troopers and boots in the field?
I think you got it. We want, like, Joe Pesci's gang from Moonwalker. Like, that's what we're thinking.
Yes!
Yeah.
Yes!
That's what you want.
How about this? Save everybody the trouble and just nuke that fucking restaurant.
Yes.
Well,
first of all, there's a gas leak no matter what.
Oh, that's totally.
There's an alien in there. You don't know how many people in that restaurant might have seen this fucking thing. These government agents have no recourse but to, like, lock the doors and
burn it all
down.
Down.
Yep,
burn
totally.
It all
burn
down.
Them, burn
chain
them
up those doors. Light that grease pit on fire,
McDonald's
dude.
McDonald's burn all the time. It's plausible.
All the time?
Enough. Enough.
Actually, now that I think about it, a McDonald's in my hometown totally burned to the ground.
Oh, maybe there was an alien in there.
They turned it into a Boston Market.
That's the cover, man.
Boo's right, sir. Boo indeed.
So they wind up, they escape the government agents, and everyone's just dancing around. And now we have, like, a chase scene where these 360-year-old men cannot catch a kid in a wheelchair.
I can't catch a breath either.
To be fair, at one point, hampered by an alien,
he does hang on to the back of a van at one point.
He does a little skitching, yeah.
But these dudes are kind of keeping up with it, which is totally unrealistic. Two of the three would drop dead after, like, the first half mile. You know what I mean?
So the mom has traveled cross country to manage a Sears, as I understand it.
Yeah, as we found out, this is her first job in 10 years. Mm. Well, because that guy that she was married to, I guess, was working, and now he's dead.
Had drug money.
Right, but yeah. Oh, I guess that's the cover. She's got to work at a Sears.
Yeah, he does look like that.
He does look like that guy, but she's got to pretend to go legit, right?
You
don't want
anyone
asking questions.
Totally. So apply at Sears.
Exactly.
Is Sears still a
thing? And you know what
thing?
Happens when you apply at Sears? You work at Sears.
Welcome aboard.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, Sears still exists.
That's cool. They also what? What are we saying?
They own Kmart.
Oh, that's cool.
They own Kmart.
Wow.
Yeah, the application's two-sided. On the front side says, are you a living person? And you hit the check mark, and you go over, and it says, welcome aboard on it.
So they go terrorize this innocent Sears location.
Yep.
Jesus.
And this alien is just lighting up all of these appliances, trying to escape these people.
He's like firebombing people.
And the Keystone cops are, like, sliding through aisles.
Oh, it's embarrassing. You work for the fucking FBI.
FBI and NASA. They're buffoons.
My favorite part is when they leave the Sears, they lock the door behind them, and, like, this FBI agent throws a TV through the window, and I'm like,
oh, it's great. And then he's like kicking the rest of the glass out. I would do the same thing if I thought I was locked in a Sears. Are you kidding me? I'd fucking lose my mind. Get me out of here.
I just want, like, right after the manager from off screen, what the fuck?
Yeah. Well, that mom is instantly fired. She has to.
Yeah. She's gone.
Yeah.
So then we enter what is, like, the road trip part of this movie. Right, like a good old-fashioned American road trip.
Because there's like a high-speed, like, pick up the kid and the alien in the van all at once.
Oh, it's like a Fast and Furious stunt.
Exactly. And these, like, beleaguered fucking FBI agents, like, oh, man.
We should have thought to get a car.
Yeah.
Fuck.
At one point, we had a car. Damn it.
Turns out running down the street in dress shoes isn't as practical.
So yeah, they drive, they hit the road, and they're like, oh, Mac has been giving us signals. There's, like, horses involved, there's windmills, et cetera, et cetera. We get to this area of California.
The horses are running after the car.
Yes.
I thought they were trying to warn, like, the people inside, like, dude, man, these aliens have been coring out our assholes for years. You ever read about that? All livestock get their assholes cored out by aliens. Like, fucking cored out.
The Council of Horses.
Now,
there's a
for
council
the people
of horses.
For the people who, you know, revel in this kind of alien talk.
Yeah.
Do they have any ideas as to the function of the asshole coring?
Yes, yes. Now, this is very interesting. There's so much you could tell from, like, let's say we take your asshole out.
Okay. I'm with you so far.
You could find out your diet. You could find, like, oh, what interesting bacteria is out there, you know?
Well, it's just interesting. They're these, like, intergalactic beings, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And their way to analyze something is core out an asshole. What? I just think it's a little primitive.
What? Are the doors sealed? Why are you all here?
Now you can't leave.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we're going to burn this place down.
We're going to throw pig's blood on Steve's head.
Yeah, it's exciting. Yeah, and the horses are like, get out of here, go, go.
Don't say you weren't warned.
They find an abandoned mine where I guess all of Mac's family was dead. They were this like, is... maybe they hitchhiked with the wrong guy.
And I stashed the bodies in the old mine.
I was watching this at like 1 o'clock in the morning. And I was kind of like dozing in and out, you know, because it's Mac and me.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
And I sort of just look at the TV, and when they show the alien family in this mine shaft, they clearly have just thrown these puppet suits on the ground.
Akimbo.
And these things are just lying with their dead eyes open. And I swear to you I did this. I looked at my dog, and I was like, is that real? What the fuck are you doing with the eyes open?
So they have to be dead, right? Like
they've got
to
be dead.
Yeah, they're dead.
They're dead.
And they're resurrected through the power of Coca-Cola. Yes.
Yep.
A cold can, man.
Like, so the older brother, what's his name? Craig?
Michael.
Thank you.
Some of you guys really like this fucking movie. So Michael's like, all right, I'm going to take Mac on my back like fucking Yoda, and we're going to venture into this cave. Rest of yous stay out here. And then he runs back out, and he's like, get the Coke! Get the Coke!
And at this point, Ronald McDonald is grabbing John Coke next to him like, this wasn't part of the deal. This is bullshit. This is fucking bullshit.
It's Thomas Coke. Fuck you, Ronald. Just look what you did. Dave Thomas is going to win. It should have been French fries. That was a deal, you son of a bitch. I saw that script. You fucked me for the last time, Coke.
Oh, man, imagine if they switched to Pepsi and McDonald's.
Oh, man.
Oh, man, that's a betrayal you can't walk back from.
I don't know if the American economy could stand it. No, I really don't.
It would sink like a stone. So they fucking pump these disgusting things full of soda. And they, like, one by one cough back to life. I mean, let them die.
Yeah, please.
Yes, please. They'll be easier to dissect.
Yeah, totally. You don't want to dissect a living thing. That's tricky.
Well, maybe. Depends on how much rope you got.
Jesus. What with all the coring?
And we're driving back. We're like, okay, well, you know, I don't know what the plan is. I guess we'll just go home. And...
Yeah, I mean, what is the end game here? Are you just living with this family of fucking freaks now? Is that what's going on?
They're really annoying.
They're like, so annoying. The dad's being, like, kind of aggressive. They're all whistling in this van. My God, living with this? No. And the only answer is execution. I can't live with that constant whistling.
And much like a Quentin Tarantino movie, like we pull off the side of the road, and this like, and you just watch it, a family comedy or whatever, and you don't know that this like huge shootout is about to take place. Like it's just like this, it's a really still country road, you know. And we establish the grocery store.
The climax of Heat's about to go
exactly.
down.
You
fucking Val Kilmer's walking out with a machine gun.
Exactly. Oh, he would be a great moon trooper.
He would. He'd be the leader of the moon troopers.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Tom Sizemore's picking up a kid looking around.
So they stop off for gas, and classic mistake when you're dealing with stupid kids. The two like sort of adults, like these teenagers are like, all right, we're going to go into this convenience store. You two children watch this family of monsters for us. And so this like this Volkswagen convertible pulls up. Volkswagen, a lot of money in this movie.
Also.
And these two ladies
I'll give you like $12,000.
Like, welcome aboard.
Oh, we believe $12,000 is plenty for Mac and me. That buys you like what, 15 puppets? I've seen those puppets, they're cheap.
Now Volkswagen is the majority shareholder in your stupid little movie. You will all drive Volkswagen cars now. So these two ladies pull up and one woman's like, all right, I'm gonna go like pay for the gas. You hang out here and drink this delicious Sprite. And so this disgusting alien looks out the window and he's like, Sprite, well that's a Coke product. And smashes his disgusting paw.
Soda!
And grabs it out of this woman's hand. And she starts screaming. Because yeah, of course you would, you know.
We wouldn't.
And so everybody's losing their fucking mind. This kid's like inside on the payphone trying to call the mom or something. I don't even know.
Who cares?
Good call.
The aliens come into this grocery store.
Oh my God.
And the world stops, right?
Because they're like, this is, I mean.
How does no one throw up? Like, not one person in this grocery store is going to throw up looking at these things.
The reactions are so unbelievable. Because I was getting nauseous watching this movie. I was like gagging looking at these fucking things saunter into this grocery store.
And I love that there's this like hillbilly, because they're trying to show like the duality between aliens.
Yeah, like there's no difference between man and beast.
Because there's like this hillbilly lady's got her baby totally naked in a grocery store. And looking at Mac and me's mom, she's like, yep. We're the same.
See you on Sunday.
Ain't that something?
And so all they want is delicious, ice-cold Coca-Cola. And they just grossly walk into that grocery store to get it. And but someone's like, somebody call security. Here comes this fucking hillbilly. Gun drawn.
But there's a watermelon in this scene. And I think like the dad is figuring out, like, this shit's gonna kill us. We need something more natural.
Oh, well, that's your sin in a movie sponsored by fucking Coca-Cola and McDonald's.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to eat a piece of fruit. Are you kidding me?
You deserve to have a gun drawn on you.
Dude, it's like fucking handling an orange in The Godfather. You're fucking marked for death. Are you kidding me?
So this security guard has a gun in a grocery store. Really a bad idea, right?
I mean, what, you're going to fucking blow somebody away for stealing Twinkies? Like, I don't... This man does not need this. And he's just pointing it right at this alien.
He walks right up to this alien.
He's ready to go to hell tonight, man.
Yeah, point... Like, let's both go. Let's go see Ronald down below.
Sits down with the alien, plays Russian roulette a little bit.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And this is truly harrowing because, like... Everyone in this scene is screaming. And like the littler kids are crying.
More cops are pouring in.
Oh yeah, out of nowhere the sheriff's office pulls up.
And all of a sudden Michael turns into fucking, you know, Chris Penn at the end of Reservoir Dogs. Like, stop pointing that gun at my alien! No, drop the gun! Drop the gun! I'm like, what am I watching?
And this security guard is a coward.
Yes.
This alien walks right up to him and just plunks it out of his hand and starts waving it around.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't even do it fast. It's just like, fuck you. Wait,
I think I forgot how these aliens walk. I think I forgot how that happened.
Oh, well, these people came a long way to be here.
Well, it's kind of, Steve... It's kind of like he's got the gun drawn, right?
Yeah.
And he's got his legs spread,
sure.
His knees are bent, and he's leaning with his bump, and he's just kind of... doing a little of that,
what
you know what
fuck?
I mean?
Like, shoot it dead. I want to shoot you dead right now.
I want to shoot myself dead after that.
And they go outside. They're like, we've got this gun.
This
and
is
we're
what
leaving.
This is. It's kind of the most awesome part of the movie because he's just like, do something.
Yeah, exactly.
I got your gun. I got your soda. Fucking do something. I so dare you.
I got enough soda to make it to Mexico now.
I'll stretch my disgusting arm around your fucking fat body like a boa constrictor. I dare you.
So then, like, the ATF shows up, or whatever the fuck. They finally make a perimeter, and they're like, well, we should start firing while a kid in a wheelchair is caught in the crossfire.
It's the same team that fucked up Waco, man. Yeah. I mean, this is outrageous.
That's why they're like cautious and they don't. Oh wait, they do blow up the fucking place. All right.
Oh yeah.
All right, good.
Yeah, no, that's.
I'm glad it all checks out. Now a lot of people die in this, I assume.
I mean, this is outrageous. So like, they're just firing wildly. The older brother gets locked up. What's his name again?
Michael.
Thank you. Michael gets locked up because he tries to like stop the cops from shooting. So he's in the back of a squad car. And this kid, the little brother, Eric, is like, no, I got this. Don't worry. And like, they're still firing. We're talking shotguns are going off. And this guy just zips out to go to these aliens. They fucking fire at some, I don't know, someone's got a grenade. As something happens, this store just blows up.
Well, they hit the grocery store's gas tank. That's it.
And you just see, again, it's a child puppet in this wheelchair just go. And this thing just whips back, and this kid is D-E-A-D dead. Oh, my Lord, is he dead.
And the mother lands in a helicopter somehow, and she's like, no, my son was shot dead. And I'm like, did the movie change?
Well, can you imagine? So cut to 1988. You're one of the seven families that saw this in the theater.
Sure.
And you're just the parent, and you're just horrified. Like, what did this devolve into? My God!
And so they, you know, they bring Michael back, who doesn't, he should look like, I don't even know it, like Hitler at the end of Inglourious Bastards. But he doesn't.
It's a good look.
They get him down on the ground, and it's just like, some doctor runs out of nowhere, and he's like, yeah, he's dead.
I subscribe him a sedative. Here you go, kid.
He's put a sedative in his dead mouth.
And so, like, all of, like, the two sisters, the brother, they're just weeping in a kid's movie that's sponsored by McDonald's. Tears are falling on this kid's fucking corpse. Raining tears on his dead face.
You know, you didn't know that these aliens knew black magic, but they do. Oh.
And then, in one of the most chilling images in all of cinema, we cut to a wall of fire.
We cut to the DVD screen for T2.
And it's just like, dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. And this fucking alien family walks through a firewall.
Right. What of it?
And then they start doing like this prayer to the Lord of the Lights.
Oh my God, it's all sorts of gleep glop religious horse shit.
Yeah. I was kind of expecting it to be like at the end of Indiana Jones and the Temple of, and in The Last Crusade when like they give Sean Connery the cup of life. And it's just like them feeding this kid Coke a little bit. Yeah. They pour Coke over his bullet wound and it washes away.
No. And then it's just like, oh, that didn't work.
Well, we're out of ideas. He's dead.
Well, that's he's dead and infected now.
Try Diet Coke.
Sprite? I don't know. We're running out of Coke products. How about a French fry?
Stick a little French fry in that wound.
Yeah, it's salt in a wound.
Yeah, potato salt.
Yeah, the best kind of salt.
So this kid's still dead.
Yeah.
And then they do this weird thing where they're like, all right, everybody hold hands. And the mother, who's just gotten there 20 seconds ago, is like, yeah, all right, fuck it. I mean, what do I have left to lose? This is the first time I think she actually sees the aliens. And she's like, oh, my dead son wasn't lying to me.
And then they put the soul of the dead father into the boy. No. Is that
And then it's
and
vice
mother
versa.
To me.
Oh man, that'd be great if Janosch Poha just showed up.
So,
Ghostbusters 2.
They just like spirit this kid back to life because they can now.
So like this is what we learn about these aliens in like a 3-minute span. Mm. Really great at firing weapons.
Uh-huh.
Impervious to flame. Experts in necromancy. Okay. Can also stretch, can live off Coca-Cola, can magically fuck up a house. Apparently don't smell that bad.
I don't know how.
Whistle constantly.
Well, it's not just Coke. Their diet also has a lot of Skittles in it.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. A whole lot of candy.
Well, that's the it's the only thing that fits. It's like the only solid food that fits in that little hole.
Man, Skittles. Spielberg had a fucking case, man. He had a case against these people. Yeah.
It's H.R. Mars of the Mars Corporation. We would like some Skittles in this film. Also, I smoked too much.
Yeah, just put some Skittles in their mouth, urethras.
So this kid comes back to life, and it's kind of like nobody cares.
Yeah, they're like, oh, cool.
Like, they're like, oh, you're alive? Good.
You know what? You know who cares? The sheriff. He's like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, oh, man. Whoo! Not losing my job today.
That would have been a lot of paperwork.
I've gone from villain to hero in 2 seconds.
So a young boy in a wheelchair was instantly incinerated by a wall of flame your men set off in a parking lot.
And wait, what? Hold on. He's white? What?
Yeah, our body cams were off for that one. Oh, wait, he's okay? They were on.
So cut to these aliens getting citizenship.
There's like 29 deleted scenes in between kid coming back from the dead and naturalization to become United States citizens.
I'll tell you what, they better learn how to speak English, okay? You gotta speak English before you get here from Mars, all right?
And you don't know necessarily what's happening because it's these two bungling FBI agents are running into a courthouse and they're like, oh, we're so late. And they get in and it's really crowded and I was like, what the fuck's going on?
I think they're trying to arrest them before they become citizens.
Get it before he makes it legal. Yeah. So then it's this crowded courthouse and I'm like, I still don't know what's going on. They take their seats. There's a judge. And it's like, oh, you know, do you swear to throw away your allegiance to any other nation? I was like, oh my God, wait a second. Wait, no, what is happening in this movie? Oh, are they becoming citizens of these United States? Cut to these disgusting creatures. The dad is in a suit. The mother and the daughter are in, like, Sunday church gowns.
We taught them shame and genders all at once.
Yeah.
And gave them all these clothes. Like, yeah, there you go.
A nice little cue.
Yeah.
And the fucking baby is wearing, like, a McKids t-shirt. Just to really fucking core out your ass one more time.
Yeah.
That McDonald's bought this movie. Which, by the way, wearing a McDonald's t-shirt to your naturalization ceremony? I don't know. How about just a polo shirt, Mac? Yeah. Everybody else dressed up.
A nice button up. That's all you need.
I think you had said this backstage, but this guy, this judge who's, you know, giving the speeches, a bunch of people getting their citizenship, does not like stop to be like, and by the way, this is the first time we've ever given an alien citizenship. So it's kind of a historic day, I guess.
I counted one video camera and maybe two like still cameras.
Like the president would be there. Like this would be this was a global event.
You wouldn't do this publicly. I mean, they would get their own ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you just lumping them in with everybody else? This is a special thing. These are aliens.
Also, have we given them a physical yet? Are they cancerous? Are we sure they're not cancerous?
These guys might be radioactive,
exactly.
Dude. Nobody's testing shit.
There's a lot of them. Cut one up. The rest, you know, you make the rest citizens, but you need to figure out what's going on.
Like, Mac's a character. We kind of get to know those parents a little bit. Yeah. I don't know, that older kid?
Yeah. I agree. I think that's the one that should die.
Yep. I don't know, Bar. I don't know. They want to give these. They want to give these aliens. They want to give them citizenship.
I don't know, Bar. I think Quail signed the check on that one.
Oh, it's a public ceremony. God damn it!
God, that means I have to write a speech and everything.
Yeah, he would be there.
Yes,
of course,
he'd totally
would
be there.
Mm-hmm.
Not this Judge Ito knockoff, or this dude is.
So, I don't know, Bar, as long as I don't touch them.
It's an 80s movie, so we all got to pile into a Cadillac and just drive away.
Where did they get the money for a fucking car? Are they working? What is happening?
Gotta stop these government handouts, Bar.
And the thing that stinks is you know that this family is just forever tied to these things. Yeah. Like, you're not ditching this at any point. This is your life now.
Now you got to wipe their ass, whatever that is.
You got
whatever
the mom,
that is.
Her two sons, and then just fucking every week with these things. Mm-hmm. Oh, forever. Yeah. Holidays, vacation, weekends. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you'll tell them what Easter is. Oh, you know what I mean?
They keep calling me on the phone and whistling. It's really irritating.
And then...
the audacity.
The audacity is right.
You're not going to believe this.
They're driving, and the stupid fucking alien is chewing gum and blowing bubbles. And then, like, you know, the car, we get like a nice high shot of the highway, right? And a cartoon bubblegum bubble blows up, and it just goes, "We'll be back." My fucking foot. You'll be back. Are you kidding me?
Cartoon outro, kind of, right?
Cartoon outro, kinda, technically.
Yeah.
I'll count it.
That's a rare.
Well, the sequel would have answered a lot of questions, I think. A lot of the questions we had tonight would have been answered
would
in that
it?
Sequel.
Probably the really bump questions more than anything. Mm-hmm. Oh, and that's Mac and Me, you guys. Now we got a ski daddle here, so we want to thank the Bell House for having us back. Thanks to all of you for coming out. You've been a fantastic audience as always. Now, we like to end each show with a little bit of correspondence here, and I think I'll open up my burger here.
Don't do it. Don't you fucking do it.
You didn't do anything to it, right?
Oh no!
Oh man! I wait. I could. Oh god!
Oh wow!
Well, there's no pins in it or nothing.
But there are a bunch of pubes.
That's not funny. That's awful. All right. So here we go. Subject line: Leave it alone. 6 out of 10 stars. From Goon 2.
Oh, he got in early, huh?
Well, Goon 1 is taken. Well, let me see. Goon 2?
Let's try Goon 2. Oh, I got it. These are people, man. So it's not another Gone with the Wind. It's not another super long, totally racist movie. Is any movie that was designed for a very young audience really going to be that great?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's...
Plenty of times.
The Iron Giant.
Wow.
Killed with the Iron Giant. Killed.
What'd you say?
Iron Giant, man. I just killed
with
it.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
I just killed with it. Killed with it.
Mac and Me, by any terms, is not considered to be a great movie. Or even a good movie. But it's entertaining! All capital letters on that entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
I thought the alien was adorable. The relationship between it and the kids wasn't bad. And, now I don't know if this next part's like internet speak or what, but they go, and bloog.
What?
B-L-O-O-G.
Okay.
Bloog. Oh, that could
possible.
Be.
Possible.
I loved... the alien's parents at the end. I guess waving that gun around. I wonder who played those people, especially the father.
It was George C. Scott. Yeah.
And George C. Scott as Big Mac.
He had a day off from hardcore.
Played a fucking alien! Goddamn Mac and Me! You're gonna shoot me, huh? You're gonna shoot me?
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
I wonder what it would be like to walk around in an alien suit.
Ew!
This movie review is veering off course. It was a cute alien suit, too.
Uh-huh.
So, like, they don't care about walking around like a xenomorph or a predator or some shit, but these fucking gross things, cute.
Predator is cuter than this thing, I'll tell you that much.
Guaranteed. Guaranteed.
I would love a baby predator movie.
That'd be adorable.
Anyway, who cares if it's not a good movie? How can anybody hate those sweet little creatures? If you do hate it, show it to your younger relatives or leave or something. You don't have to watch it and put it down. We are We Hate Movies, everybody. Thank you so much for coming out. You've been awesome. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.